Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Chip Tam and football. That's what Pittsburgh does. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the show. Brian Batko, one of our Steelers beat reporters at the Post-Gazette with you as always. Pleased to be joined today by EJ Smith from the Philadelphia Inquirer. A lot of Steelers-Eagles overlap in recent years and certainly in recent days as well. We're going to get into the signing of wide receiver Quez Watkins and Eagles trading for Kenny Pickett. Yes, we're still going to talk about Kenny here at the Post-Gazette a little bit. EJ, what's going on, man?
I'm doing well, Brian. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for doing this. As always, show's brought to you by Pella. No better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella. They can help you save on your energy costs year round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella windows and doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. So EJ, I just got done. We're recording this Monday afternoon in case there's any seismic Steelers or Eagles news that happens before you guys listen or watch this on Tuesday. But just had my Post-Gazette weekly Steelers chat at 2 before I hopped on with you. And I think the most common question today was Steelers fans asking me, Quez Watkins, is this really like their big answer to trading away Diontae Johnson to the Panthers a couple weeks ago? I mean, obviously not, but I think he is a player who's got NFL caliber experience, been a starter at times for the Eagles, a little bit of an up and down career, I guess. What would you tell Pittsburghers about what they're getting in Quez and sort of what he was able to do his first 4 years in Philly?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, with Quez, like, I feel like by the time that his tenure was over, a lot of Eagles fans were relieved to see him kind of moving on, but I do think that there's something to be said. He was a sixth round pick when they got him. And, you know, they had another receiver they drafted in the fifth round who isn't on the team anymore. His name is John Hightower. He barely caught on in the NFL. So you look at a guy like Quez Watkins, and they got good value considering where they got him in the draft. And I really think with him, it was like he had a tantalizing profile. Like, he was a guy, I mean, you'll notice immediately from him that he's got elite NFL speed. You know, he is a field stretcher. He's the type of guy who can take the top off of a defense. And that was why he had a role in the Eagles receiving core, even after A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. You know, once that duo was formed, he was still a meaningful member of the wide receiver core because of what he could threaten the defense with, which was his long speed. So you saw that a lot in his second season in 2021. His yards per reception that year were 15, you know, and he was a deep threat. And that was when he was a number two receiver with Devontae Smith. And again, I think the Eagles viewed him as, you know, a number two caliber receiver, you know, going into that offseason until the A.J. Brown thing kind of propped up. And, you know, once they had the opportunity to get A.J., they jumped on that. So I think that Quez sort of has a little bit of unrealized potential. Again, the last two seasons with the Eagles didn't go especially great for him. In 2022, at the end of the year, he said he had an injury. I think it was a shoulder injury that he said impacted him throughout the year, but his numbers have really gone down the last two seasons pretty progressively. And by last year, he really just wasn't a major part of the Eagles offense. The offense got more and more funneled through Devontae and AJ. So Quez's role continued to diminish, but I understand why the Steelers might want to take a flyer on a guy like him. Again, he's got good physical traits. He's someone who can, you know, make explosive plays down the field. Maybe not as consistently as you might want, but I do think that he has some intriguing attributes at least.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting that you even, you know, kind of put him in that wide receiver two category, because right now the Steelers, they've got George Pickens, who I think everybody is expecting to ascend to that number one role. But then beyond that, you know, they signed Van Jefferson in free agency. They've got Calvin Austin on their roster, draft pick a couple years ago. So they don't have a true number two guy just yet. And obviously in Philly, I mean, with Howie Roseman and their philosophy there, they're always investing in receivers, right? You know, they always want to try to find that next guy. It's an area of the roster where it can get pretty expensive pretty fast in today's NFL. So maybe it's, you know, not necessarily an indictment of Watkins that, hey, they found some better, you know, options there with A.J. Brown. And clearly Devontae Smith has long been a talented player. So maybe there's more meat on that bone for him. And was it just a case of, and I think I read somewhere too, maybe some drops, some ball security issues late in his tenure there that you probably don't expect to see from a fourth year player.
Yeah, he had some fumbles, you know, and a couple of drops. I remember, I think it was last year, he had a catch against Washington. Yeah, he had a fumble last year, and against Washington, he had caught like a deep post, and he took like four steps, falls down on his own, and fumbles the ball. And I think that is kind of a good encapsulation of like what Quez's tenure was like the last 2 years with the team. Because again, I'll be honest, like there are a lot of Eagles fans that are happy to see him go. And I think that he could probably benefit from a change of scenery, because he was someone who was sometimes impacted by the negativity that can sometimes seep in those types of situations.
Oh, well, Steelers fans are never negative. Trust me. They're all sunshine and rainbows, all positivity, yeah, right. All the time.
So, yeah, maybe he still needs to keep his Twitter private or whatever it was he was doing last year. But
yeah,
you know,
if you turn the comments off, he will fit right in. I think Kenny Pickett has limited comments. Deontay Johnson turned the comments off on Twitter.
He's going to fit right in then. But, I mean, listen, Quez is always a pleasure to cover in the locker room. I never had any personal issues with him or anything like that, for the record. But he definitely was someone who was impacted a little bit and sort of got frustrated with fans at times. And again, I think the fumble, the deep post and the fumble is a good representation of what it was like for him his last 2 years. He was somebody who you understood like why he was on the field at times. Well, I guess at times you would understand why he was on the field. He could make a big play, but especially last year, I felt like a lot of times he only had 21 targets. And I feel like when he did get targeted, a lot of times it was like, well, why are they forcing the ball to Quez there? You know, it's like, you know, it just kind of felt like bad things were happening when the ball went his way. So,
and nobody playing fantasy football wanted to see that either. Everybody wanted it to go to A.J. Brown, exactly. Or Devontae Smith or Jalen Hurts pushing it in for six.
So. Absolutely. But I think he would benefit from a change of scenery. I think that he's still, again, he's an NFL wide receiver and he has a function, even if he's not, you know, particularly productive. The defenses have to account for him. Cause he's the type of guy who can take a slant route to the house, or, you know, again, take a go route to the end zone. So yeah, I do think he's an intriguing player. Yeah.
When you're 6 foot and ran what a fourth when you ran a 4.35 or whatever it was at the combine, teams are going to keep giving you chances to make an impact. And I haven't seen the contract details or anything for that yet. I'm assuming it's probably a 1 year deal that doesn't even guarantee he, you know, makes the team out of camp, but they've got to, you know, get as much competition on the roster as they can, get some depth there, and they've done a pretty good job of that the last couple of years with Omar Khan as their new GM and Andy Weidel, who came from Philly to be the Steelers' assistant GM. I counted it up today. I think Watkins makes six players on the roster who were drafted or signed as an undrafted free agent by the Eagles when Weidel was there, and he had some ones in the last couple of years too who aren't necessarily on the team right now. Elijah Riley comes to mind. Yeah. So they've liked doing business with ex-Eagles, and I guess you'll have that when you have front office transfers and executives that have a lot of standing in the organization.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and Andy Weidel, like, I do feel like when he was in Philly, you picked up that he had a type. You know, I think the Eagles have kind of gone away from it a little bit since he left, but, you know, I mean, they've gone way more for like pedigree in terms of like college. You know, you've seen a lot of Georgia guys, a lot of Alabama guys. But with Andy Weidel, I do kind of feel like you had a little bit more of that, like, Ravens-y impact. You know, you wanted guys who were productive in college at certain points. And, you know, also, like, just wanted, like, big people, you know.
Yeah.
You just want large human beings who can play the positions that they play. So, again, Andy was a guy I enjoyed covering, too. I'm not sure how he's been for you guys, how much you guys really get to talk to him. But, yeah.
Yeah, occasionally we do. I mean, it was a new role for the Steelers when he came here. They hadn't had an assistant GM, so he clearly got a little bit of a bump in title, and that means we've got to hear from him a little bit more in the press as well, which I know Howie Roseman had him do a decent amount of interviews back in Philly to kind of explain draft picks and guys like Quez Watkins, why they were, you know, high enough on their board to use a sixth round pick on a receiver out of, was it Southern Miss, I think?
Southern Miss, yep.
So, yeah, so that'll be interesting to see kind of what he is able to do to factor into the receiver mix. They've got a lot of sort of deep cuts like that on the roster, like Denzel Mims, former second round pick of the Jets, is here. He was on the practice squad last season. You know, Dez Fitzpatrick was a fourth rounder of the Titans, I want to say, a couple years ago. So they've got guys with draft pedigree, and, you know, we'll see what Watkins, you know, is able to amount to. But if nothing else, like you said, he's got that deep speed, and it's going to be an Arthur Smith offense with, you know, a lot of running the football, a lot of throwing to the tight ends probably. And when you do take a shot downfield, you're probably going to want to go pretty deep, especially if it's Russell Wilson uncorking that thing for you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, EJ, we're going to get right back into some, again, Kenny Pickett chatter on the other side of this. He's off to Philly now. He took his easy pass from Pittsburgh to Philly on the turnpike. So I'll be curious to get your insight on that, and maybe sort of just what the, you know, the pulse of the fan base is as they bring Pickett in to likely be their backup. We'll talk about that in a second after the break here on Chipped Ham and Football.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Again, joined by EJ Smith of the Philly Inquirer, covers the Eagles, does a great job for them. They've got a deep roster of people covering the team on that side of the state, much like we do over here in Pittsburgh. So EJ, I guess just first off, I mean, were you surprised at the news, I guess a week and a day or so ago, of Steelers trading Kenny Pickett to the Eagles for a pittance, essentially, in trade compensation? And, you know, what are the sort of early whispers or rumblings over there in Philly about what they're getting from a former first round pick who obviously fell out of favor here pretty quickly?
Yeah, it didn't surprise me in the sense that, like, you always can expect the Eagles to do aggressive things at quarterback, whether it is trading for somebody like Kenny Pickett. I mean, I'll be honest with you, like, the instant reaction from a lot of fans, and I think it's a valid one, is they wanted the guy that Pittsburgh ended up with. You know, I think a lot of fans were curious why the Eagles didn't pursue Justin Fields. I think, it's come out a little bit since that maybe the Bears wanted to give him a better chance at starting. Yeah. I also think that the big difference to me with between Pickett and Fields is the Eagles are always after having affordable backup quarterbacks that can give that, you know, have experience in the NFL. You know, I mean, they'll point to Nick Foles as the glowing example, but there really has been a history. I mean, even before I covered the team, you know, like guys like Jeff Garcia and AJ Feely, you know, there's a long history of backup quarterbacks being important to this organization.
Kevin Cole, right? That's
yeah,
a good one.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, Michael Vick and Nick Foles, I mean, they've always seemingly prioritized having two quarterbacks that they feel like can win them games. So, you know, in Pickett, they get 2 years of a guy who's still on a rookie contract who has experience playing in the NFL. I think that, you know, the production in Pittsburgh is a little underwhelming, but when you look at the production, and I wrote this in the Inquirer a couple of days ago, like when Kenny Pickett came out, I looked at him as a long-term backup in the NFL. So when you look at his production in 2 years with the Steelers, that looks like a backup's production, you know? So,
right.
I mean, I know that, again, I think the initial reaction from a lot of fans was disappointment. Why Kenny Pickett? But I do think when you look
at the other options on the market, at least, like obviously right, as a backup, he's probably fine. But yeah, when you see the Steelers sort of quickly adjust and go get Fields for not much more the next day, yeah, it threw a lot of curveballs into everybody's quarterback calculation.
For sure. Yeah. And stylistically, Fields is such a better fit into what the Eagles do offensively. But I do think that this is really kind of a value proposition, having 2 years of Pickett under contract. And listen, he's going to play at some point. Like, you know, Jalen Hurts has been hurt every year that he's played. Again, it's not like he's had major injuries. It's not like a knock on him. But he is, his playing style is such that he usually misses time. So, you know, Kenny Pickett's going to get experience. Marcus Mariota was here last year. He didn't play a ton, but he did get, you know, opportunities to, you know, show what he could do in the offense. Didn't really play that well. He never really played well from the moment he got here.
Nothing against Marcus Mariota, but I don't understand why he keeps getting these like 2 year. I think he got 2 years, $6 million from the Commanders this offseason. I'm sort of confused, especially when I'm seeing the price of some of these other QBs around the league. Obviously, good GMing by the Eagles to not go down that road again and simply take Kenny Pickett off the Steelers' hands.
Yeah, and the one thing I'll say is that like Tanner McKee, the quarterback out of Stanford they drafted last year in the sixth round. He looked really good in the preseason last year. Like his stats aren't particularly impressive, but when you watched the games, you saw how many passes wide receivers dropped and kind of just how dysfunctional the offense, you know, third string offense in preseason can get pretty dysfunctional, can, you know, sort of look pretty ugly, but he made some really impressive throws. I honestly thought he had a chance to just be the number two quarterback behind Hurts. But again, it's an organizational thing that they want to have somebody with experience that, you know, that they can put into a game, and hopefully, you know, they would view it as like they need to win us a game at some point, and they trust someone like Pickett more than they trust McKee, who's obviously limited on experience.
And I know, EJ, you prioritize a lot of draft coverage in these offseason months, and you do a ton of breaking down all that. It's interesting to me that you mentioned, you know, you kind of always viewed Pickett as like he'll probably settle in as a backup for, you know, a decade or so in the league and start some games here and there, maybe win you some games if things go well. When you look back at that 2022 draft and him being the first quarterback off the board, obviously nobody could account for the Brock Purdy phenomenon that has taken place. But I think a lot of people probably did think, yeah, there might not be a legitimate long-term NFL starting quarterback in this group. And we didn't really know here in Pittsburgh. We knew the Steelers probably going to draft one. We didn't necessarily know when or who. And it turned out that nobody had been taken by pick 20 that year. So they sort of fell into Pickett and vice versa, for better or worse. But were the Eagles, do you think the Eagles had any interest in him then? You know, obviously he said at his opening presser out there that he grew up loving Philly teams and grew up a McNabb fan and all that, which I knew. Was Nick Sirianni, were they doing their due diligence on Kenny in 2022 and maybe got a chance to get him on the cheap here for a role that isn't a starter, but one, like you said, could be important behind Hurts?
It's funny you ask that, because they were doing their homework on him. Because if you think about that offseason, Jalen Hurts wasn't a known commodity quite then. Right. I mean, he was coming off a really bad playoff performance against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Not super dissimilar to where we're at now. But, you know, obviously that back then he was really an uncertainty. I mean, he was athletic. He had shown some flashes. But, you know, the MVP caliber season he had the next year was not a foregone conclusion that was going to happen. Yeah. So it's one of my, you know, colleagues, Tim McManus, actually pointed this out in a story he wrote. There's this meme of Howie Roseman with the binoculars in a press box. He's watching a Pitt college football game. He's watching Kenny Pickett in that meme. Like, and, you know, you had heard things about, you know, the Eagles hosted the dinner for Kenny Pickett's, like, you know, with a bunch of other teams, like after that game. You know, you did hear that they did some due diligence. So I do think there was some interest. Again, to what degree, I'm not really sure. Again, like, they didn't make any major moves at the position. They kind of just went with Hurts. You know, ironically, I think they were in on Russell Wilson, the other Steelers quarterback at that point, but, you know, Russ wanted to go elsewhere. So, you know, in terms of like their interest in Pickett, I do think that they did a lot of homework on him, and I think that contributed to it. But again, I think that this is mostly like the value proposition, like I said before, about getting anybody with that level of experience for, you know, an affordable cost control deal for 2 years.
Yeah, of course, I'll be curious to see how things work out for Kenny. Curious to see how things work out for the Steelers without him here, because there was a fork in the road and the Steelers went veered way off path that a lot of people expected them to do. So, well, EJ, thanks so much for doing this. Is there anything else you wanted to add, or if you want to tell people where they can find you and your work? I guess I should ask, who's going to draft more Georgia players this year, the Steelers or the Eagles? Because they've been fishing in that same Athens pond, especially this past draft.
Yeah, well, it hasn't gone great for the Eagles. You know, like, I actually, in a mock draft I did earlier this week, I had them taking Amarius Mims out of Georgia. And I had a lot of people reaching out to me like, they can't draft any more Georgia guys. Like, this is not, you know, like, Jalen Carter, been good, right? He's been good, but the character stuff was the reason he slid. So, you know, I think that fans are still a little cautiously optimistic with him. But Jordan Davis hasn't really been the impact player that they expected him to be.
Which is funny because, again, this small world is like, I think a lot of Steelers fans in that 2022 draft, the ones who weren't Team Kenny Pickett were like, please give us 6'6", 360-pound freak of nature Jordan Davis in the middle of our 3-4.
Yeah, and that's like a very Andy Weidel pick, in my opinion. It's funny because I remember doing reporting at that draft that I heard, like, the Eagles are going to have to get up above the Ravens because that's just such a Ravens player, Jordan Davis. And that's what they did. They had to leapfrog the Ravens. I think they'd redo it if they could do it now because the Ravens ended up with Kyle Hamilton instead of Jordan Davis. So, you know, it is funny how these things, you know, work out or don't work out. But, yeah, no, I mean, I think that the Georgia guys might need to cool it on the Georgia guys as much as I did. I do think that they'll be in on Mims just again because he fits their profile. But it's going to be an interesting competition to watch between these two teams. You know, it feels like the Eagles and the Steelers are always kind of in each other's orbit. You know, I've got some family members who are Steelers fans. They're always asking me, like, oh, what do you think about my Steelers? And I go, like, well, listen, I know a lot about the Eagles, but my Steelers knowledge is quite limited. So,
yeah, well, tell them they can hit me up.
To the podcast. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Tell them to just come to the Post-Gazette for some takes. But, yeah, and I think the Steelers and Eagles play again this year, if I'm not mistaken. That'll be fun as well. So much going back and forth between, the 5 hours in between us. So. Well, thanks again to EJ Smith from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Always enjoy reading your stuff out there and the whole team that you guys have. For Brian Vatko, again, with the Post-Gazette, thanks to you all for checking out Chipped Ham and Football. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back with you next week, and we'll have more stuff, of course, on the North Shore Drive, the draft show on the weekend. It's always there's always something for us to talk about and for something for you to read with Steelers coverage, free agency heating up as well. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.